Hello, everybody. This is Bill Williamson. This is Silver and Black Pride. This is our podcast Tuesday afternoon on the, 19th of May. Got a special guest. Really excited to have it. A longtime friend, longtime co-worker, Mike Sando of The Athletic. Mike, how's it going? Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here, Bill. Yeah, Bill and I go back to what, 97, you were on the Seahawks beat. I think I started in 98. We were both covering the Seahawks together. And heck, before that, I'd been a Raiders season ticket holder. So I've got my Raider stripes, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I actually forgot about that. That wasn't what I was going to ask you about. But this is right. Mike grew up in Sacramento. And were you a season ticket holder in L.A.?
No. I mean, I had a neighbor in Sacramento who, when the Raiders moved back to Oakland in 95, that had always been our dream. Like, hey, the Raiders are coming back because we were Northern California guys. And heck, I honestly, a season ticket, I got the one I got in the 300 level was $1,000 for the season. I'm 25 years old, Bill, and I'm not making hardly any money. I think I actually borrowed some money from my mom to come up with $1,000, you know.
Right.
And I would sometimes, I was living actually in Washington State. I was working one of my first jobs, and I would fly down, like a Southwest Airlines flight, as cheap as I could. I would actually fly down the morning of the game. One time I walked from the airport to the Coliseum. I would not recommend that. And then
I can see you doing that, by the way.
I have a hotel. Oh, it was brutal hot. we were a bunch of jokers, you know? But I was a diehard fan, so you'd do anything, right? I just couldn't believe they were coming back to Oakland. It was so sweet at the time, and of course kind of bittersweet now that they're not going to be there anymore.
Right. So how many years did you do this? 95, because you were on the...
Go ahead. 95, 6, 7 were the years I had season tickets. And I remember our friend and one of my mentors at the time, Dave Bowling, who was on the beat, or a columnist actually at the paper in Tacoma where I was going to go cover the Seahawks. He's like, dude, you got to get those Raider stickers off the back of your car. I mean, you know, you're a pro now. We're not fans of the team. So you sort of learn how all that goes. You could never imagine when you're a fan that you could be that you could not be a fan. But that sort of happens, you know, as you cover the teams more and you still, you know, have an affinity for those players that you covered or that you watched when you were a fan.
Right.
The rosters have shifted over now, and, you know, there's obviously nobody left from the, from those teams.
So that is funny. So you went – I was actually in the stands for the first game back in 1995 against – was it the Chargers? Or
because the Chargers, I was there.
Yeah, it was September 3rd. It was day after my birthday. My wife, we'd been married 4 weeks. She grew up a Raider fan. Her dad was an Oakland police officer. They had season tickets, and we were at this. So that's kind of wild that two guys that cover the NFL for all these years were at the same Raider game. And we had
didn't even know each other.
In fact, our seats were just to the left of the black hole. And I don't even know if it was, quote, the black hole then. Because this is the first game back.
My seats, I believe, were in section 326 or something. It was, I think, on the Raider sideline, I believe.
Yeah. We were living in Ventura at the time. I was covering local sports in Ventura County. And we drove up to Salinas because that was the closest place you can get tickets for Bay Area games. Because, you know, we wanted to be at this first game back. It was an incredible moment. And really, that kind of sits with me as one of my remarkable games I went to as a fan, as most memorable. I think it's, you know, I'm a huge San Francisco Giants fan, and I went to Game 7 of the NLCS in 2012. And that will always be it for me, you know, I think. That will be the ultimate. But that was right up there. I mean, that was a... has to be the most memorable of your 3 year stint as a season ticket holder.
Oh yeah, because after that we realized the team wasn't very good, you know, and they went through coaching changes, and it was ultimately a disappointment until, you know, Gruden got there and they really got it going and went to the Super Bowl. But yes, and I can remember. See, I had moved away from California. I'm living in Washington State at the time, and the internet was in its very early stages, and I actually became part of a Raiders fan sort of internet mailing list thing. It was a group called ORIB, Oakland Raiders Internet Boosters. And that was all the community we could find. I was scouring anything I could find online about the team and any sort of the community. And so I was actually part of that group. We would tailgate, meet there in the parking lot and tailgate, you know, for those years. And definitely very memorable. I wish we had pictures from that. You know, you didn't have the phones that took the pictures. I'm sure there are some, but I never got any.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I went to a few games that season, and then I think I went to three. I think there was a Seattle game and then a Denver game on Christmas Eve. And then I think that was it for me because I started covering the league, you know, and I'd come in for games and, you know, meet with people. But, yeah, a lot of great memories. What are your thoughts of them being the Las Vegas Raiders? I know that it's going to hurt some folks, but there's so many Raider fans all over the country, and I think it's going to be so beneficial for the franchise, the organization, you know, making money, having a great stadium, having a great facility. I think it's a good thing for the organization.
Yep, I feel like Oakland's the loser, and that, I mean, that sucks for Oakland. It's really not good for Oakland, obviously, but for the Raider sort of brand and fan base transcends, it doesn't even need a city. You know what I mean?
It really doesn't.
People say you're a Raider fan. They don't even say you're an Oakland or an LA or a Vegas fan. You're a Raider fan. So I think, you know, most of them are undaunted, and certainly it makes it a destination place to go. If you're a Raider fan now, you can make it a Vegas weekend trip and go to a game. I think that's pretty cool because there's so many fans all over the country.
Well, you just said it 25 years ago. You're flying in on game day. That happened all the time. If I'm flying in on the game day to cover a game, no matter where we're going or where we're leaving, there are Raider fans on that plane, and that's going to be the case still. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is.
Absolutely, yep. No, completely. I hope for their sake. I remember those plane rides back after they lost, you know, and you're wearing all your gear and stuff, and you just feel like you're all down and you're getting harassed by some guy on the Seahawks fan or something. Hopefully they've got a little more success coming.
Right. Hey, you know, another thing I want to talk to you about, you know, in fact, like I said, I forgot that you're a Raider fan. So the first thing I was going to talk about was your experience with John Gruden. You have a real unique history with John, and unlike anybody else in the media, you closely worked with him, you know, when he was the Monday Night Football color guy at ESPN. That was your role, right? You were there every Monday. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, you and I had both worked at ESPN, and you had covered the AFC West, I covered the NFC West, and then at a certain point, they went to team-by-team coverage, right? Not just division. So at that point, I spun off into this role for ESPN Insider at the time, and so I was kind of like this, you know, national columnist, ESPN Insider, and they really wanted to make a connection, get John Gruden involved with the website. So they sent me, they said, hey, you want to you travel with Monday Night Football and go to all the Gruden quarterback camps? I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, who wouldn't want to do that? So you get a little bit of, airline fatigue because you're on the road 16 weeks out of 17. But for 3-4 years, I went to every Monday Night game. I sat in on the production meetings with John, not the ones with the head coaches, but with, you know, where we would come up with the ideas for the, you know, for the show. And you'd hear John would do these amazing breakdowns on all the teams, and, you know, of course, it was all kind of like on background, off the record to prepare the crew. Hey, this guy's really struggling. Hey, this guy, I got to be a fly on the wall for that. Then the spring would roll around, and they would have these quarterback camps in Orlando, and it was down there by all the Disney stuff. So I would go down there it seemed like I would spend most of my March there. And so for whatever that was, maybe 2014, 15, 16, 17-ish probably, I went to probably every one of the quarterback camps. So I got to watch John watch the players. And he would come in at, like, it would still be dark in the morning, typical Gruden, right?
Right.
And then he would meet with these guys for 4 or 5 hours in the morning breaking down film. And I would sit in this control truck and watch the conversation. Now, they're going to boil this down to 25 minutes of TV or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you're a fly on the wall for 4 hours of him just grinding on these guys. And then he would take him out on the practice field after a little lunch and throw the balls. And you'd have a bunch of players come in who worked out in there. You'd have Bruce Irvin or Santonio Holmes these guys who were already down there, John would bring them in, and they would run routes and give them defensive looks, and it was just a cool thing.
You know, I think that series is going to go down as one of the great, mini docuseries events covering the NFL, and it'll never be the same because he made it so special, and he was into those things, right? I mean, he was coaching those guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, remember at the time, too, he's out of coaching, but he still has the coaching gene, coaching itch, right? So, you never can replace that when you're out of it. You're close to the game, you're breaking down the film, but you're not really getting to interact with players in the same way. So anytime, it didn't matter who it was. It could be a guy who wasn't even going to be drafted. John would be totally into it. He would have watched all the college games. He would have talked to people. He would come in and know stuff about their high school careers. Just really, he couldn't get enough of it. So
right.
I always thought at the time, too, this would be pretty cool for him, when he does go back to coaching, because I always thought he would at some point. There's going to be a several-year period where he kind of really knows those quarterbacks.
Yeah, and now he's got two of those. Well, he's got three of those guys. He's got Carr, Marcus, and he's got Peterman in there. And was Kizer, did Deshaun Kizer, did he do one of those?
He did.
Yeah.
I got it on my screen here, Bill. March 27th of 2017. I've got my camp notes.
This is classic Sando, by the way, folks.
I know. I'm ridiculously organized. It's funny. I opened this file and it's like, okay, 82%, 11 personnel, and of that, 70% detached from the formation. That's the type of stuff John's into. He's like, and I would always, this is funny, I'm looking at my notes here, I would make, it's kind of a running joke. When John would do those interviews, every once in a while, it would be like this non sequitur, he'd be like, do you like football?
Yeah. Hey,
you love the game? So I would make notes. So on my Kizer file, I've got 9:16 a.m. Do you like football? 9:19 a.m. Do you love football?
Right.
That's John.
Well, that's what he's kind of doing. The Raiders put out when they draft guys in the last couple of years, they tape the phone call, and that's basically what he's asking these guys right before they draft them. Just making sure, do you love football? Just to let them know, hey, this, you're a Raider now. You got it. This is, I'm going to be bugging you about this. You got to love football. So that's totally believable. Is there, this is an easy question. Is there something about the Carr memory of his quarterback school camp that sticks out?
Oh, yeah. So, obviously Carr can really throw the football, just great talent for throwing the ball. And he, John would have these nets set up where the guys would throw into these nets, and some guys do better than others, but he'd have a GoPro camera on there, and John would always razz Carr because he broke his GoPro camera on it. I mean, he really shined in that drill, where it's just arm and accuracy, not a rush or someone hitting you. You're just firing into a net, and there was really probably no one better. So if I look at my notes here, actually John would write a column off of the visit that I would write it, but it would be sort of as told to.
Right.
The things that stood out were, obviously the arm talent, his knowledge of the game. I think coming up the way he did, Football Family, Brother
right.
played. I think John had some concerns about, he'd had some injuries at that point, which I don't think has been a problem to this part in his career. And he was really saying that he thought the Texans should take Carr. He thought their best move would be pick Clowney first overall and find a way to get Carr at the back, trade up into the back of the first round. He thought that would have been a home run for them. So, and it really would have been. Obviously they have Deshaun Watson now, but at that time they really needed a quarterback, to come in and elevate them because they had that great defense.
Yeah, I think that if David Carr wasn't ever a Texan or obviously didn't have his struggles as number one pick, the first face of the franchise, Derek Carr probably would have been drafted. I think they took a guard at 33 that year.
Yeah, I agree. I understand that whole thing, too.
Yeah.
It would have been tough. So,
yeah.
Look, it's been a tough enough time in Oakland with the stuff that Carr gets questioned on, let alone if he was there. Every failure would be about his brother and all that.
Right. Last question for you, Mike, and I love this segment. Thank you so much. Is there a moment of that quarterback class of the years that you guys did it, that really your memory that you can maybe share with people? I don't know, you know, is there just anything that, as you look back at that experience in your career, like you'll always, that'll be your first thought?
Yeah, I'll give it to you. So one was, he was as excited or more excited about Carson Wentz as anybody that I remember him being excited about. And so John had been in Green Bay with Favre, and I think there was some of that sort of everyman fee appeal of, of Wentz coming from North Dakota State, being a big, strong guy, you know, who just sort of let it all hang out and wasn't afraid to take a shot and all that. So that was that part. Another sort of funny story was, you know, John's just in such demand. He's really a rock star. You can't walk across a parking lot without 20 people wanting to take a selfie. And you know what I mean? So any time you get with him is really precious. And, you know, I'm just a writer at ESPN. I'm not a – he's not going to be spending 2 hours with me, right? So – but I'm trying – I need this sort of time with him. So anytime we had an opportunity to kind of talk and small talk, you take advantage of it. And as you know, as a reporter, sometimes you – I'd have a second phone there because sometimes if you're doing an interview, if you're going to be recording the interview, you might use it as a recorder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had like two phones in my hand. Well, we're just standing there small talking, and John would talk about the players, you know, his impressions or something. I forget who even the quarterback was, but the guy had two phones there, and John had no idea I had two phones in my hand, but John's like, he's just kind of small talking. He's like, hey, what's with the two phones? You know, who walks around with two phones? You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, what was he? Got secret deals going on the side or something? I mean, what kind of guy? And I'm like, sort of nodding my head. I'm like, yeah, coach, I got no idea. I sort of slid my second phone into my pocket, you know, and I kind of played it off and walked away. But just one of those funny moments where I had to get a laugh, you know, trying to make a good impression with the coach, and he's busting on a guy who's exactly like me.
Right. What I appreciate about him is he, you know, you said he is a rock star, and it's because of that. You know, that just larger than life personality, but he is kind of regular too, right? I mean, you can BS and bust chops with him a little bit, and he's just kind of, he's pretty regular in his own way, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, and, you know, like one of the ways you see that is he's like a huge metal fan, huge AC/DC fan. You know, his, you know, maybe you've seen a couple stories about his driver, you know, his buddy,
right,
who drives him around, who used to be the bus driver for a lot of rock bands. And so, yeah, John's in, there's a definite, you can connect with him, you know, a definite regular guyness to him. And you know, I think in those if you can get him in those moments where he's not just everyone pulling at him and stuff, you know, it's a pretty cool thing because he's funny and, yeah, busts on things and just so knowledgeable about the game. It's really fun.
Cool. Well, folks, you just got an inside look at your coach. You got a memory of from a 25-year-ago season ticket holder. I don't know what else we can do here. Mike, great segment. Thanks so much for having us. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Great. Thanks, Bill. We'll see
you. Yep. Well, how about that? Was that awesome? I know it was awesome. You don't even have to answer. That was awesome. Mike Sandel, a longtime friend. Great job. Appreciate it. Giving you guys a little feel of the history of, you know, of the 1995 Raiders and then the current leadership. So thank you so much. We'll be back next week. This is Bill Williamson. This is Silver and Black Pride. This is our podcast. Love it. You guys take care. Talk to you soon. Happy Memorial Day.